B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio. Didn't we talk about playing Me Into Me at the beginning of the show?
We did.
Yeah, you wanted more of it, right? Yeah. Like, give me some more of that Al Beck intro.
Yeah, so that's a different podcast and a different host, by the way.
Thing, I wonder if anybody who knows who
it made us happy. That's all that matters.
That was a good joke.
Welcome, everybody, to Nerd Radio, wherever you're getting your podcast, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network, and, of course, all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. Al Beck, James, yeah. Chuck Bean, here with you for another week, and joined this week by Nate Bender of Checkpoint XP.
I threw me off with that one, Chuck.
Sorry.
Because I went to Nate. I thought you were going to go to Nate, but then you introduced yourself before Nate, so then it's...
Oh, yep.
It's okay. It's okay.
I could have been Nate. I'd have been much more handsome.
Well, the viewers would be so confused.
I wanted to start this week's episode off because we're post-Thanksgiving, and I wanted to thank everybody who listens to our podcast, much less watches us on Twitch stream, because over the holiday weekend, Al, I saw you in the morning, and you clued me into another podcast from a very famous person who talks to other very famous people.
Oh, yeah.
I've listened to a few episodes of it, and I had kind of a existential crisis of, like, I am so thankful that people listen to us.
When Conan O'Brien has a podcast
when
as well.
When you have the option to listen to somebody like Conan O'Brien. Yeah. Because I feel like you're slumming it, and I appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
I appreciate that your decision was to listen to
Thank you for making poor decisions. No, honestly, though, like, we've talked about it before that, I mean, you and I have done this podcast together for a long time.
Right.
You know, James joined us probably about a year ago at this point. But, man, it's like, if only my mother was downloading this thing, I enjoy doing it. I have a lot of fun doing it.
Sure.
But I would continue to do it even if it was just one download. But I love, and we see numbers growing all the time. So
right.
And we hear from people on social media, of course, Nerd Radio 101 on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram if you want to reach out to us.
And I've had at least one time when I was at a wrestling event and somebody was like, aren't you Chuck Bean from Nerd Radio?
Yeah, dude. I mean, we
and even though I cannot remember your name, God, do I appreciate it.
Wasn't it like Chris or something? He reached out to us.
He did.
And you forgot his name again.
I did.
I think it was Chris.
I'm awful.
But
I'm not.
But, I mean, even James and I were doing part of the morning show's 0.5K event. There were a few people that came up to us during the photo op and said, thanks for doing Nerd Radio.
Yeah, I was shocked. Thank you for doing Nerd Radio. I was like, you listen to that? Yeah. This Nerd Radio thing is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Given our lives relevancy.
Yeah, and we make a lot of jokes about it being a flaming pile of garbage. But honestly, I've got a lot of pride in this thing that we do.
I have
a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate everyone who listens and reaches out and says hi and everything. And,
yes, absolutely.
And all of our guests who pop in, like Nate.
Actually, that's what I was going to ask you guys, if you, and you've already had me off in the past, if you've had that moment where, like, you were kind of famous because you were telling me a hilarious story the other morning.
Oh, God, I don't know if I remember this.
You were out with Chuck the Freak.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that was a couple of years ago. It's what I like to call a micro failure that I enjoy very much. I like it when someone doesn't know who I am or what I do.
Right.
Or if they're told you should know him from the radio, and they still don't. It's hilarious to me. I really enjoy it. And the one I was telling you about was a few years ago, I went to a concert at Queens of the Stone Age. I went with Chuck and Lisa from the morning show, Chuck's brother Drew, and Chuck offered me the extra ticket. And so I'm there with the three of them. People were more excited to meet Chuck's brother than to meet me. And then there were other... There were a couple people who came up and they're like, oh my God, it's Chuck and Lisa. Al, will you hold my beer while I take a photo with Chuck and Lisa? I'm like,
mobile beer holder.
So they
got
knew
it.
Who you were.
A couple
of them didn't care.
No, they just don't care. Don't care. Which is
that's the worst.
Dude, no, you know what? If someone says to me, if I try and tell you who I am or what I do for a living and your response is who, I tell you that's correct. Like, you should not know who I am.
Right.
I'm flattered when somebody does. And it always seems like the people who, I don't know why we're talking about why people recognizing me, but whenever
you had that story,
whenever
it
does happen, it seems to be a pizza delivery guy. Like, I am just number one amongst the sad. And it's always like when I'm sad and I'm in sweats and this is not my moment, like I didn't even go to pick up the goddamn pizza. I'm having it delivered to home. And they're like, oh, hey, man, I really like the show. Like, son of a bitch!
It's funny that you bring up the pizza delivery guy, because that's when I probably get recognized the most as well. And it's when I'm, like, the highest. Like, I'm half naked. My hair's all disheveled. I look like I just woke up in a trap house.
Yeah.
Just trying to collect my lunch. Oh, you're the guy from that radio show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it so much. And they want to ask all these questions. I'm like, I look like a complete piece of trash right now.
I've had it happen on my way home when I had that second job at the dry cleaner. Mm-hmm. And I had my uniform on and everything. And I stopped into a Little Caesars to get it hot and ready on the way home. And I'm just beat. I've worked 16 hours into the midnight shift on the radio. Did the dry cleaning job. And I was getting butt to eat and I'm going home. And the guy at the register recognizes me. I'm like, how do you know it's me when I'm wearing what's with the shirt? Like, why would you even think that it's me when I'm wearing this shirt? Like, I'm just a dry cleaning enthusiast. Like, what an odd choice I made.
That's an interesting hobby. Yes. Dry cleaning enthusiast?
Yeah.
Look, I'm very involved in fabrics being cleaned with chemicals.
I have taken my clothes to every dry cleaning place in the Tri-County area, and I can tell you the top five.
Yeah.
99-cent cleaners, number one.
Yeah. No,
price.
It's so rare that I get recognized, but it's always flattering and confusing when it does happen.
That's essentially what I wanted everyone to take away. It's not that we're telling people that you need to recognize us in public, but that we greatly appreciate that you recognize us at all. Nate, have you run into that at all?
You know what?
You've been out at like one of the esports things? People are like, are you Nate Benner?
Not quite. But I did do a podcast. The very first podcast I ever did was for Final Fantasy XI. So I'm pretty well known in the Final Fantasy community. And there were a couple of fan fests that I went to where, we did stuff for Final Fantasy XIV as well. The first Final Fantasy XIV fan fest that I ever went to, we threw an after party. We were like, okay, so there's going to be a whole bunch of nerds in Las Vegas. It's 2 days. They're going to be looking for something to do between Friday and Saturday. So let's have a party. So we found this place. It was called Insert Coins.
Okay.
And it was like one of the very first generation of barcades that were out there.
I was going to say, that's either a barcade or a really cheap strip club.
I was kind of hoping it was a strip club. Yeah. So there's more than coins that want to be inserted.
So we I get there and, you know, this is the first time I've ever seen it. It's a really cool place. Like, it's all graffiti on the wall. And like, there's a whole corner, like two whole walls of arcade cabinets, and there's booths that have PlayStation 3s and Xbox 360s. The whole place was really awesome. And because this was like a Limit Break radio event, literally every single person who was there knew who I was. So everyone was buying me drinks.
There you go.
Which is great. It's awesome. I felt like a rock star, but I have 5 minutes of memory from this entire party before I got blackout drunk, tried to throw up in an ice bucket before management could run over with a waste bin, and had to be carried out. I literally had to be carried out of my own friggin' party. It's cool when it happens, but it was like it could only happen at, you know, a Final Fantasy fan fest. So it was like, you know what I mean? Like, it was
very specific.
Yes, it only happens once every 2 years. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even an annual thing.
Well, find your time to shine and shine on.
Well, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Well, you got to be the belle of the ball, so take it.
The sad ending of that was that, like, I went to the last fan fest that they had, and I was so like we already knew that the thing with Checkpoint XP was happening. We were wrapping up the show, so we got to give our listeners kind of a nice kind of wrap up of the show.
Right,
but it was really sad being at that event and having like no, I didn't care at all what was happening with the event. I didn't want to be at any of the panels. I didn't want to see anything that they were showing off. I was done with the game. I was done with the show. I had no investment, and it was just like, I spent a whole bunch of money to be here. Mm-hmm. Like, why did I do this? You right. know what I mean? So it was a little bit bittersweet by the time that it ended. But, yeah, for like about 5 years, it was a pretty sweet run.
Nice. Well, another bell of the ball. We'll get to some actual nerd news here. Is Baby Yoda. The newest episode of The Mandalorian. I love that every episode of The Mandalorian gives us gifts that people share on Twitter.
Oh, absolutely,
of
yeah.
Baby Yoda. And we talked a couple weeks ago about me and Al originally thought Yoda was just a really old guy.
yeah.
I don't know why, but it wasn't until this fourth episode that it finally occurred to me that Yoda is not CGI. That's a puppet.
Yeah, you didn't realize that?
No. I thought he was like, purely CGI.
I didn't know that either. To be honest with you. And I haven't seen the latest episode yet either.
Well, there's a fantastic sequence at the very beginning of the episode where Baby Yoda is sitting on the console while the Mandalorian is flying the ship, and he reaches over and he presses a switch, and the Mandalorian like turns the switch off and tells him stop touching things, and then he watches him. Like, it's like a little kid. He's watching him. He just kind of reaches behind him and presses the switch, and then he picks him up and puts him over here.
I feel like it's Baby Groot all over again.
It
a
is.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but the best thing is that people have been taking that exact clip, and instead of him turning something on the ship on and off, he's turning the radio on and off. So there'll be a different song in there. My favorite so far has been Toto's Africa, Baby Yoda turning on Toto's Africa and the Mandalorian. And the greatest part is the actor that plays the Mandalorian. His name escapes me. It was Pedro Pascal or something like that. Retweeted and said, I would never turn that song off.
All right.
That's a bit of fun.
Yeah.
But definitely enjoying The Mandalorian. It feels like when Pokemon Go launched, like everyone almost universally loves this little tiny puppet creature.
Yeah, there's no escaping it right now.
Right.
It's in demand. People want the merch. I keep seeing people keep sending me different sex toys now that are based off
Baby God
Yoda.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I saw that, too.
And I was like, I don't know. I feel weird. A, not so much because I'm trying to be intimate with Yoda, but because it's a child Yoda.
Yeah.
I know
right.
he's 15 years old, but still, it's a kid.
I saw that, and I think that's supposed to be adult Yoda, but the timing is poor. Because Baby Yoda is all everyone's talking about, and then you get a Yoda flash in a flashlight.
Oh, my God. This is
real or wrong. But no, I saw it because I think we got tagged in the same tweet.
Okay.
And I saw it because I said the same thing. I'm like, dude, I'm not.
I don't even want to like it. I don't want to retweet it. I'm not, like,
nope.
I'm going to get on a list.
You don't want to be
on a government list.
I'm not effing Baby Yoda. You know, like, it's not going to happen. So, but no, I did look at it. I think it is adult Yoda.
That could be Al's platform to run for president. I am not effing Baby Yoda.
I will not F Baby Yoda.
I just, like, it's only, the series is only going to be, what, like 8 weeks or something like
that?
Yeah,
there's only like 4 episodes left.
Yeah, like, but after the new year, we're not going to have the Mandalorian to watch and just, like, what am I going to do without my Baby Yoda show?
You got to catch up on DuckTales and the Adventures of the Gummy Bears like I am.
Right. Well, actually speaking
of... Oh, my God. I took another look at that thing. It's Teen Yoda. It's still bad and wrong.
Still underage, man.
Still... Oh, that's
awful. Can we get a barely legal Yoda, please?
That's your episode title right there. Barely legal Yoda?
Yes, it is.
All right. Make sure you write that one down, Al.
I will.
Thank you very much.
I'm on it. Well, I'm not going to write down anything else. Just barely legal Yoda is it.
Just write it down on a crumpled napkin. Man, throw it in your really pocket. Yeah. So you'll be somewhere and have to explain it to somebody else.
Be talking to somebody, you pull out this crumpled napkin. Why did I write?
I love that idea better where you just like, you got to, oh, hold on. I got to write this down. You pull it out and you're like. Barely well, legal Yoda.
But like, this like is you find it 6 months later and you're like, why? What does this have to do with anything? Why would I write this?
To justify it to yourself even more than to somebody else. Because I mean, that's already embarrassing. You pull this thing and you get like, I'm standing next to Nate and he's like, why is that?
I was thinking that date's going to go south really quickly, but it'd be even funnier if you were with like our boss. Though he would be like, yeah, that figures. Of course, Al's got barely legal Yoda.
Yeah, well, I wanted to believe in humanity, but it turns out that meme was still wrong.
Somebody out there needs to buy barelylegalyoda.com.
Right. It's just all Star Wars porn.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Barelylegalyoda.com.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It is a market for that.
Oh.
Well, I said, you know, what are we going to watch while The Mandalorian, once The Mandalorian goes off the air? I found this story that over in Australia, the stuff that they're adding to Disney Plus this month is different than the stuff they're adding to Disney Plus over here in the different regions. And while we're getting, this month we're getting George of the Jungle 2, the Garfield movie, and Thor Ragnarok, Australia is getting all of the X-Men movies except Dark Phoenix.
I think actually we made out better on that deal.
I want to watch it. I want to be able to pull up my X-Men movies and watch them.
Why?
I like X-Men.
Those first two movies were okay. Everything after that is pretty unacceptable.
Well, I
First Class was okay.
I can't defend most of them. First Class is pretty good. Days of Future Past is cool.
I'll say I did enjoy Days of Future Past the most out of all of them.
Right.
But I feel like that one was like ripped straight from the cartoon.
Yeah.
Like the storyline followed the cartoon a little bit more. And that's what I grew up to kind of learn the X-Men story was those cartoons that are now available on Disney Plus as well.
Right.
So the movie to
this
me
This episode
I was like,
brought to you by
Disney Plus.
Dude, Disney Plus should be paying us for the amount of like free press, the amount of PR that they get.
Right.
My God. But. I mean, they own everything that everybody loves.
So. I don't hate any of the X-Men movies. I haven't seen Dark Phoenix yet.
Right.
So I don't know about that.
Well, the only ones that are missing are Dark Phoenix, both of the Deadpool movies, and Logan.
Okay,
those are not going to be on the streaming service yet. Mm. But you will be able to get the first three X-Men movies.
But we did get Garfield, which is Bill Murray's one regret.
We did.
As we learned from Zombieland.
Both Wolverine and The Wolverine and X-Men Origins Wolverine, which that one. Definitely.
You know, I don't remember The Wolverine at all.
Yeah,
I know
probably, it was Silver Samurai?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you probably didn't watch
particularly
it.
Particularly bad.
See, I didn't think it was that bad.
I think that one was pretty good, too.
Yeah, especially with X-Men
remember.
Origins Wolverine kind of set the bar really low.
Well, true. Listen, any portrayal of Gambit, the way that they did it is, no.
I don't know that Gambit is a character that's ever going to translate properly,
you know, because I was thinking about that when Channing Tatum was trying to get the Gambit movie made, and I was thinking the entire time, man, Channing Tatum is not the dude that I would get to play Gambit.
What's wrong with Channing Tatum playing Gambit?
He doesn't.
You can't pull off like a French like Cajun guy that throws a deck of cards at people that explodes.
I would accept Channing Tatum as a young Brock Lesnar. I don't think I would accept him as wiry, flippy card thrower.
I disagree. I think Channing Tatum could pull it off.
No.
The man is a treasure. The man is a treasure. Well, have you seen him with his shirt off? Well, he's got dance moves. He can act. He's funny. He can be Gambit. No
here's,
problem.
Here, I just no argument that he can be funny because that one. What was the?
This is the end.
No, 21 Jump Street.
Okay, 21 Jump Street.
I laughed my ass off at him. But I unless he can really, really convincingly do a New Orleans accent. Like, unless that he's got that Southern drawl perfect, I don't see it. I just don't see it. Plus, here's my big question for any Gambit movie, any portrayal. What's the thing that he wears around his head? What's the like...
Oh, that weird, like, mask thing?
Yeah, because that has to be a part of it. I just don't know what it is. Like, whenever I tried to make it as a kid, I just took, like... I don't know, like a balaclava and just started cutting, and it never worked.
Well, I mean, it looks like it's made out of construction paper. You just cut like
it
a square. Like you made a helmet out of construction paper and then cut the top off so your hair can come out and be all frizzy.
And there's plenty of, I think that's why they change the costumes a lot when they do these movies is because you see a costume like that and you're like, well, that's not going to work.
Well, I'm pissed that they changed the Wolverine costume and they even made a comment about it in the first movie. He's like, what, would you prefer yellow spandex?
Right.
And in the movie theater, I yelled, yes! Yes, I would prefer yellow spandex!
That was before.
That was the futuristic crap you threw them in is.
That's early 2000s, man. That was before they knew how to actually make the superhero costumes look kind of cool.
Just talk to whoever makes costumes for professional wrestlers. That's all you need to do.
True.
Get the seamstress from the WWE to make an X-Men costume.
Hell,
make it blue and
yellow. Rey Mysterio had a great homage to Wolverine at, what was that, All In?
Maybe.
I think it was. I think he had the homage to Wolverine at All In.
His Joker costume a couple weeks ago was ridiculous.
I saw that. I thought he was supposed to be Doink the Clown. You're telling me that was supposed to be the Joker?
I was supposed to be Joaquin
Phoenix
Joker. No,
Doink the Clown, brah.
He even had a stupid red nose.
Makes kids cry, brah.
Oh, it's too bad we already have a title for this episode.
Makes kids cry, bro.
Oh, that's I have to give credit where credit is due. That is an OSW joke. Old school wrestling podcast.
Yeah.
OSW is that, like, look them up on YouTube. They're really funny. Mm. Just three guys from Ireland who watch old WWF pay-per-views and basically like MST3K it. It's phenomenal.
Fair. That's phenomenal. Cool. Well, speaking of Joaquin Phoenix, he's been named PETA's Person of the Year.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is kind of odd. But the one I wanted to bring up, I saw that and then also saw this story, which I figured James would be all about. Jason Momoa is GQ Australia's Man of the Year.
Well, good. It's a title he deserves. Australia, though. He's not Australian.
I don't think
you have to be Australian to be the Australian.
No, I think it's just GQ Australia, just GQ. Picking whoever is the big hottie.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm glad. I think they made the right choice.
So thoughtful.
Roman Reigns looking. All right. Well,
Jason Momoa would beat Roman Reigns in a fight. I'm just going to say that right now.
He's bigger. He's absolutely taller. All right. Well, let's take a short break, and we're going to come back with some more Nerd Radio here with Nate Benner from Checkpoint XP. Said your name so fast, I don't even think I got it right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hey, what's up? It's WWE Superstar Braun Strowman, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
So Erica doesn't have the headphones on. She has no idea what's going
that's
on.
Okay.
It's just like, why did everybody shut up?
Like, why is Chuck banging his head?
Do I have a jack over? I mean, I can hear in your headphones right. Loud and clear.
There should be a jack over there. This has all got to stay in, by the way.
Okay, well...
You know what the fun thing is too is that doesn't translate over to the podcast when I have to edit it, so I have to manually put that back in. We just get to hear it now. I don't even know if Twitch gets to hear it or if we all just shut up.
No, Twitch hears it.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah,
excellent.
It just doesn't get sent to the recorder.
Yeah, so that's kind of fun. Welcome back to Nerd Radio. It's Chuck Bean hanging out with Al Beck and James, along with Nate Bender of Checkpoint XP, and joined by Erica Bennis.
I can finally see you this time.
I know. We've
fun.
Got you over there.
Usually I'm over there and I can see just like, it's like Wilson. I can just see your eyes.
Exactly.
That's it.
So then you owe Nate an apology for taking your seat.
You know.
You were so upset when you came in here.
You know, you don't have to call me out on being a bitch, Al. Not today.
I don't have to, but I enjoy it so much.
I mean, it's an easy target. Come on.
Well.
Just set him up.
You guys know when you hear Erica's voice that we're going to talk about some wrestling. It's Squared Circle Roundtable time, and I want to do kind of a wrap-up of 2019. Now, obviously, we've still got 3 or 4 weeks left, so anything could happen. But it's been a pretty fantastically interesting year of wrestling, and I wanted to get your guys' takes on what were some of the high points, if you were. What were, let's say, your top three, your high points this year of wrestling.
I'll be over here on Instagram while you guys do this.
That's fair. What was your high point of wrestling this year, Al? Oh, nothing? All right, cool. Because I think, for at least for me, getting to see Bray Wyatt introduce the Fiend character and how that has turned out has definitely been a high point. I also have to remember that Becky Lynch's rise to superstardom kind of started last summer.
Yeah, it was
SummerSlam when she turned heel, and then it was just meteoric from that point on. And we got her Royal Rumble win leading into the WrestleMania, and that program was really great. So I'm a big fan of that. And I'm always thankful for a year that Survivor Series is great. And I thought this year
Survivor Series was really good this year.
Because I have the unpopular opinion that it was just okay.
I love when you can get the 5-on-5 matches working, and this year you got 5-on-5-on-5.
Yeah.
So that was super cool. What about you, James? What's some stuff that you thought was really good this year?
Because I went and seen it live, Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
I thought the female Royal Rumble was phenomenal, and to see it live was great. I loved when Kofi won the title.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was great when he won the title. And
is this also the year of Elias sucks at guitar? Was that this year?
Yes.
Then that was my wrestling highlight. Yeah. Was James making wrestling blog news
yelling, Elias sucks at guitar.
Well,
so I have an answer to the question.
Hey.
Then yeah, maybe I'll throw in when I got on TV when Raw was here in Detroit.
Right.
And
so basically,
getting my face on the Royal Rumble. Oh. Dude, my face is forever ingrained in the WWE universe with the Seth Rollins Royal Rumble victory.
Yeah.
You see him standing, holding that belt up, and then right behind him, you just see my big, giant, blurry face. So I guess like, those would be the highlights for me. I'm trying to think if there's anything crazy that I just really, really enjoy.
I love that your highlights all involve
you
being there.
Yeah. Whoops. I'm not going to share the spotlight, you know. Yeah. If I'm somehow involved with it, I want to be involved in it, and I'm going to brag about it, you know.
To be fair, though, being at an event, though, that makes a lot of sense for it to be a highlight.
Oh, sure.
Though, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get it. I was actually just telling Amy the other night that, you know, SmackDown's coming in a couple of weeks, and like, I certainly hope if I'm there that I get to see Bray Wyatt's entrance in a live capacity. Because I feel like that will be the highlight of the night.
I'm praying that Elias comes out because he just came back on TV, and I want to get some use out of that sign.
You still want to let him
know
he sucks at guitar?
I
got to
get that sign on TV, and I have a perfect spot. I'm right in the corner, so when they walk down the ramp and they go to walk up the corner steps,
yeah.
Elias sucks at guitar.
Just like, oh God, this frigging guy again.
I hope so.
He need to make a Shinsuke sign because he typically stops in that corner before he goes up there. So that's definitely a moment where you can.
I feel like Shinsuke could totally beat my ass.
Okay. And Elias, not
I
so much.
I wouldn't be able to tell. Yeah, Elias, he doesn't worry me as much.
Right.
But Shinsuke, I feel like he would try to like give me a warning. Like, if I don't watch my mouth, he's going to kick my ass. But it's all going to be in Japanese. So I'm not going to know what the heck he's saying. And then I'm just next thing you know.
Japanese warning.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, like, I really hope that when SmackDown comes to town, because usually there's like one or two wrestlers that they'll send to the station.
Yeah.
God, I hope they send Elias.
Oh, wow.
God, I hope they send Elias.
If they do,
I want to see this.
I will crash, because usually there's another DJ in the building who always does the interviews. I will crash that interview. I will get in Elias's face with the sign, and I will let him know how much he sucks at guitar. You're not Elvis. You're not the Honky Tonk Man. You're not The Rock. Shut up!
He's not Jeff Jarrett.
Scarfs, too. Yeah, you're not Jeff Jarrett.
The Honky Tonk Man. That just made my day.
Hey, he's cool, he's cocky, he's bad, and you never forget that. Also, I love how now we know the origin story of why wrestlers won't be invited back to the studio ever again.
Why does that
just
happen?
Like, well, no. Because come on.
When it does happen, okay.
When it does happen.
Right.
It's like, we had a spoiler on that one, you guys.
Yeah,
come on.
We knew what was coming up, so that's something.
Speaking of the Honky Tonk Man, like, I actually got
which is a thing no one's ever said.
I know, right?
Okay.
Words no
episode
one has ever
title,
said before.
Please.
Anyway, no, I actually just learned the other day that before he did the Honky Tonk Man gimmick, he was punk rock Wayne Ferris.
What?
Yes, he had a punk rock gimmick before he was the Honky Tonk Man.
Did he come out looking like one of the Ramones?
I have no idea. I don't think that there's video left of it because I tried to find it.
Yeah.
And I
when was he
anyone.
A big deal, though? I feel like that was
the Honky
before,
Tonk
like,
Man?
Oh, Black was
back in the territory days.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're talking like early 80s, probably.
Yeah.
Erica, what about you? What are some of your highlights as far as wrestling goes?
I mean, I feel like I could do more than a tight five on just AEW, but like, I feel like that, like, everyone knows that by now. Like, it was a huge game changer with them just launching,
absolutely
existing before they even had the show. They only had a handful of pay per views, and they changed everything. They absolutely and forced people to restructure their shows for better or for worse. I could once again go on and on about that because I really haven't been watching Raw and SmackDown. It hasn't made me happy.
Right.
You're asking for 5 hours of my time every damn week. You're not earning it. I'm sorry. It's just not.
This podcast doesn't make anyone happy, and people keep showing up for it.
You know, Al,
and we appreciate all of you. As we said at the top of the show,
there are dozens, dozens.
The dozens.
Who love
there
us.
Are literally threes of people that like this crap.
On top of, okay, AEW aside, obviously, once again, I can go on and on.
Right.
The fact that women main evented WrestleMania this year was absolutely huge. I mean, a big reason why I fell off from watching wrestling, like, late 90s, early 2000s was just the fact that how poorly women were being treated and how they were being presented on television. And it was they were objects. They weren't people. And the fact that we went from that to main eventing is mind-boggling. I never thought that would ever happen. Side note, and I know this might be a sort of a deeper cut, speaking of women, anybody who does follow Impact, which I mean, I don't know why I'm looking at Al. I'm like, why am I looking at Al? I'm saying this. I'm like, anybody who does watch Impact Wrestling. Well, and
he's the biggest Impact Wrestling fan.
I know. I was going to say.
That's all he talks about is Impact Wrestling. Like, did you see what happened at Impact Wrestling last night on Twitch? I was like, no, I missed it.
James constantly locks his office door because I won't shut the fuck up about Impact Wrestling.
No, Tessa Blanchard has had a year unlike any other. I think she is the best women's wrestler.
Is she the chick that did the tampon thing?
No, that's Priscilla.
Yeah, Priscilla Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been one of my highlights, too, now that I'm thinking about it.
Anyway, what's the point anymore? Why am I here?
James is making another sign.
Tessa Blanchard she's wrestled dudes in Impact and stuff. Like, well, yeah, she's almost in the same position China was in.
Yeah, and she's a better athletic talent.
Right.
Like, there are China comparisons, especially, like, just with her look. Like, she definitely has kind of, like, sort of the features of China and the look, like, not as domineering and as bodybuildery.
Right.
But she's a remarkable athlete. She's great on the mic. And I hope she never goes to WWE because they would ruin her so much.
I love that out of all the people in the room, the one that gets paid to write words on the internet uses the word bodybuildery.
She's inventing words.
It's okay. A great word.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I'm trying to watch my language to give you less to edit.
Whatever. Al's already made me pull DMX out once.
Yep. Yeah, but
have fun.
But that's Al, and I'm not Al. Come on.
You are not Al.
Thank you.
That's true.
No, I mean, it's been remarkable for women this year.
Yeah.
And I think it's only going to keep growing, and it's going to be interesting to see who's going to jump ship, because I have a funny feeling that AEW's, it's only a matter of time before they acquire a big name female talent, because they have a lot of good wrestlers.
They've got a solid roster.
They do, but there's no star. Like, the Joshi wrestlers are great and they're super entertaining, but they don't speak English very well, so it's hard for them to kind of connect with fans. So they do need somebody who can cut a great promo,
right,
who can connect like that, and who is athletically gifted. So it's going to be very interesting to watch 2020.
What about you, Nate? What are some of your highlights from this year?
All right, let's see. The women's match at Crown Jewel, Hell in a Cell, and no, I'm kidding.
I was trying to think
of the three worst things that I saw in wrestling. Oh, and the Bobby Lashley Lana angle.
Oh,
all right, well,
yeah, those. No,
thanks
I'm
for
kidding.
Being on the show.
no, I do think that a lot of what's happening with AEW is really special. I like everything that MJF touches.
Oh, yeah.
Maxwell Jacob Friedman is the best heel in all of wrestling, and every time he's on the screen, I can't look away. He's the best thing that happened in that entire company.
Excellent.
And I kind of have to give a shout-out to Cody Rhodes, because Cody Rhodes, I think, is the second best thing that's happening in that company. Everything he touches has been phenomenal, from the Sean Spears chair shot to the program he's currently doing with MJF. I think it's awesome. It's one of the best things in wrestling. I think a close second would be the NXT War Games that just happened. Holy cow. That was a pay-per-view I would have paid $50 for.
Yeah.
And there was only, what, like five matches?
Four matches?
It was so good. The women's war game match was probably one of the best that I've ever seen. And then it was topped by the men's.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. I absolutely adored that. And I'm trying to think of a third thing that someone hasn't already mentioned.
Right. Well, I knew that you guys were both big AEW fans, so I left that off my list because I knew you guys would have that covered.
Right.
But I do have to agree that just the having choices as a wrestling fan now, having so many choices, whether you're watching NWA on Tuesday nights on, on YouTube, or whether you're watching Impact Wrestling on Twitch. Like, you have choices as a wrestling fan now. It's not a matter of, well, Raw sucks, but what else am I going to watch?
I'm sorry. I watched NWA on YouTube last night, and the Rock and Roll Express won the tag titles in 2019. And thank you. That was the appropriate response.
What?
Those guys, thank you. Those guys, like, are, what, like in their 60s now?
They are in their 60s, but like they can still kind of go. I mean, you had, I forgot whether it was Ricky Morton who did the, oh my God, the Canadian Destroyer.
Yeah.
He's my parents' age. This ain't right. Yeah. This guy should be dead. But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. NWA is wild.
Wishing death on somebody. That's a new one on the show.
I don't wish they were. It's amazing that they are still mobile enough to do the things that they do.
Oh, it's like every time I see The Undertaker in the ring, I'm just like, let him retire.
Yeah, right.
Just let him go, Vince. Please.
It's like the end of Harry and the Hendersons. Get out of here! Go, dead man!
It's true, though.
You get points for Harry and the Hendersons reference.
Yeah. It's a little known fact. Al likes to work in Harry and the Hendersons in any conversation he can.
I guess you know he's been watching on Netflix.
Yeah. But my God, like every time I love The Undertaker. He's one of the best wrestlers ever. I think every time he steps in the ring from last year on, he does a disservice to his legacy.
Yeah,
sure.
So I think the last kind of highlight that I can think of is it sort of along the same lines what Erica said. Is just like, who's going to make the jump over to AEW?
Sure.
Like, that's what every day I'm checking Twitter to go, all right, who did they acquire? Like, who are they getting? Who are they looking for? Who are they scouting? And some of the biggest, like, some of the biggest pieces of news for me recently have been, like, New Japan is open to working with AEW.
Yeah.
That, to me, is huge because now you've got an ability to flow talent between Japan and North America, and to do so a little bit more meaningfully than they did with Ring of Honor, because I don't think that they really took advantage of it
right.
in Ring of Honor. God, a dream match for me right now would be Jay White and Kenny Omega. I want to see that match so bad because they did such a good program in New Japan that I want to see that done in AEW. And Kenny Omega is being so underutilized right now in AEW, just putting smaller guys over, that I've seen the Young Bucks and Kenny lose enough. I need to see them start winning.
Well, that leads into what I was going to ask you guys going forward into 2020. What are you hoping for when it comes to professional wrestling in 2020? And obviously, like you were saying, like
I want to see another Moxley pop. Like I want to see another big name from the WWE, like make the surprise jump over to AEW. And there's a couple of guys who really want to make the jump. Like I want to see the Revival.
Oh,
the Revival wants out of WWE
right.
so bad. And they're the best tag team that is in wrestling right now.
They did some amazing stuff in NXT, but I have to, even as a Revival fan, I have to say the last couple of years since they went to the main roster, I've not seen a good Revival match.
I want Aleister Black out of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
He is so good, and he was so well utilized in NXT
mm-hmm.
that whatever they're doing with him on Raw, like making him come out of...
Come knock on my door.
Yeah, like that...
Challenge me to a fight.
Stop it. Stop it.
You come out of the ground like The Undertaker for your entrance.
Yeah.
And you want people to come knock on your door. Go pick a fight with somebody yourself.
It's so stupid. It's so...
Lazy ass.
Yeah.
And then I think I'd like to see, you know, like some of the Bullet Club members make the jump over to AEW. You know, like Marty Scurll
right.
is currently...
He's with ROH,
yeah,
but that's a matter of time.
I'm 100% sure of that. But I mean, like, WWE going so far as to kind of tease, like, with AJ, Gallows, and Anderson, and then when they did the run-in on NXT
right.
with Finn Balor there, I got really excited for a half a second when, wait a minute, this is WWE. What am I talking about? They're not going to do that.
They're not going to give you what you want?
No, of course not. You don't know what you want. I'm going to tell you what you want.
Right.
Famous Vince.
What about you, James? What's something maybe you're looking forward to?
Looking forward to.
Wrestling. What would
get
would
rid
you
of Brock
like
Lesnar?
To see?
I'd like to see no more Brock Lesnar. Get rid of him. I'd like to get on the WWE program some more in the audience shot with some signs.
Right.
So I'm hoping for some opportunities for that to come up in the next year. And
why don't you make a Brock Lesnar sign for when they come around?
Yeah, because you want him to die?
No, I don't want anybody to die. I just
No. Go, antagonize Brock Lesnar. Like, that's a safe bet.
I feel like he's just
all he's gonna do is F5 you four times.
As long as
he's just a big dumb animal.
As long as he can fall from like a 6 foot height a couple of times, you'll be fine.
Well, I'll be dead on the first F5. Completely
dead. Or just play dead.
This is becoming a troubling recurring thing. James is picking fights with wrestlers.
I know.
Last week they were in the studio, though.
Yeah, I needed one to come up and just slap me in the face. He'd be like, "You still think it's fake?" I'm like, "Oh my God. Yeah. I want to befriend another wrestler ever again. I'm getting too brave.
What about you, Erica? What are you looking forward to in 2020?
It's going to be very interesting. Going back to New Japan for a bit, because they did launch that. Like they're going to have like a U.S. promotion, U.S. like for lack of a better term, flagship here, and like we are in like one of the markets that they're going to visit. It's going to be interesting to see what talent's going to be there. I think their relationship with Ring of Honor, because Ring of Honor is going through some stuff.
Oh, yeah. They're not in a good spot.
And so I know they've had a long relationship with them, but like, let's be honest. They know those guys at AEW. Mm-hmm. They've worked with them. I know there was like some awkwardness with Trent and Chuck Taylor leaving because this is just all dirt sheet stuff. Supposedly, Trent gave them like a handshake agreement, but then like went back on it a handshake agreement to traditional Japanese businessmen is like, no, that's you made the deal.
Yeah.
You didn't sign anything, but you went back on your word. So I guess there was kind of some bad blood about that. Keep in mind too, 2020, we're going to see the rise and the launch of the XFL.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm looking forward to what happens with wrestling. Vince McMahon is going to want to control the XFL,
yes,
but still control the WWE. He is a 70-something-year-old man. I don't know. I know he doesn't sleep, but like he's got to crap out at some point. Like I'm Vince McMahon breakdown 2020, calling it right now. He's going to lose it. He can only work so much.
No, and what has been made abundantly clear to me, especially through Survivor Series and the NXT TakeOver, is that Hunter understands what modern wrestling fans want,
yep,
and delivers it every single week on NXT. And the best episode of SmackDown in recent memory was when everyone was stranded in Saudi Arabia.
Best episode.
That was some of the most exciting wrestling I've watched on TV in years. And I enjoyed it far more than I enjoyed the Raw that followed it that made me go, why am I even a wrestling fan?
Right.
And it's frustrating because that is the difference. Anything that Vince touches is goofball, is corny, is bad.
It's the big dog.
Right.
Oh, God, the big dog.
Just retire or go do the XFL. Just you're not doing your own company any favors.
It wouldn't be so frustrating if they didn't have any talent. Like, I mean, there was a time in the 90s where it's like they didn't really have a lot of good personalities. They didn't – like their roster was meh on a good day.
Right.
They have the most stacked roster that they have had in years, mm-hmm, when it comes, like, athletically speaking. Creatively, I mean, that's up in the air because guys aren't allowed to be themselves anymore. They have to run everything through creative department, a.k.a. Vince has to approve it. It's unfortunate because there's so many great wrestlers there, and they're just being wasted.
The nonsense is actually starting to wear their relationship with Fox down, because Fox is pissed that the ratings have been slowly slumping for SmackDown, because as I understand it, when they signed the agreement, they were signing the agreement for a much more sports entertainment oriented product, and there was supposed to be more MMA influence, and you can see where that happens, but then they do that and then they go to a backstage segment, and it's just like, it's so all over the place that you're right, like, if you're asking for 5 hours of my time out of every week, I'm just not gonna give it to you. I'd much rather spend the 2 hours with AEW.
yes,
much rather.
Well, Al, what are you looking forward to in wrestling coming up 2020?
I'm looking forward to more James on TV.
More James on TV.
Yes, Al, I knew you were on my side.
Yeah.
We're going to make it happen in 2020 just for you. You're going to be my make-a-wish-come-true guy.
Well, what about you, Chuck?
I really want factions, and I don't know that I'll get them because I want them every year. But I really would like, you were talking about The Undertaker being like, kind of like, don't cart The Undertaker out and then make him wrestle.
Right.
Like, he still has the mystique of his character. You could very easily pair him up with all the other spooky guys
and redo,
what was it in the Attitude Era?
With Gangrel?
The Brood.
You could give him his spooky guy coven back with like Aleister Black and Bray Wyatt and all these guys, and like just have him be the overlord, the supernatural overlord of all these guys that are supernatural type characters.
I haven't thought of the name Gangrel in forever, man. A fat vampire. I love it.
Yeah. And apparently the teeth were real. That wasn't even a gimmick.
What?
He actually got the teeth put in surgically or whatever.
Psychopath.
He's nuts. He's out of
his
mind.
I don't
want to
think about Gangrel anymore. Stupid fat vampire.
But that's really the thing, though, is that like there are no good stables right now. Like there's just
Gangrel still got those
come out
teeth.
He does.
He's not Gangrel anymore.
No. Right. He's got to go to his job bagging groceries somewhere with his Gangrel teeth.
What if he's like a loan officer at a bank? So you got to sit down and some guy with vampire teeth has to be like, sorry, Mr. Beck, but you don't have the credit for this mortgage. Sorry.
Oh, that hurts me more than it hurts him.
You're going to walk into a cell phone store and Gangrel is going to try and sell you.
I need to know. I need
on the
to
unlimited
know,
data plan.
I need to know what bank sees Gangrel with the teeth and goes, all right, let's do it. Sign the papers. We want you to be the face of our bank.
I don't know, but it's a grocery store branch. I'll tell you that right now.
It's a grocery store branch inside of a grocery store in the hood.
And that's another thing that I think NXT and AEW will give me before Raw and SmackDown will give it to me. NXT, has the Undisputed Era, and I love
that. That's the only stable that I can think of.
You know,
and they're great. They're great. Yeah. They're an awesome stable.
Oh my God, I hate the Undisputed Era.
It's the only one that I can even think of.
Their song is great.
Their song is fantastic.
It's got the boom.
Well, and I hope they never get called
baby,
out because it's going to they're going to get split up because I mean look what happened to Sanity.
Yeah.
Sanity was great.
Yeah.
And then like just Lead Balloon, like way to go.
You broke it. I thank you guys for coming in, giving a little predictions, and kind of wrapping up what this year in wrestling has been like. We're looking forward to obviously last time we had you on, Erica, you were talking about New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes.
Which is coming up right at the beginning of January, and then we've got the Royal Rumble coming up the end of January. And like I said, we got SmackDown coming in a couple weeks, so you guys are going to be able to see James on TV, possibly get his ass kicked.
Yes.
And then we will get my ass kicked or embarrass the crap out of Elias.
And we will obviously talk about it here on Nerd Radio. We're coming back with more. We got some video game news for you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Pause that game. We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Honestly, I hate working here. They are so weird.
I like that drop.
Yeah, me too.
Good drop.
Watching Iron Man 3 on the network or on Disney Plus and saw the scene where I'm like, God, I need that. Yeah. I need that.
My question is, you mentioned that that does not make it onto the recording, so Twitch heard it and everything. Do you make sure you get the right thing, or
now
are we commenting on a completely different
piece? No, now I have to. I absolutely have to.
He plays the one where it's you talking.
Yeah.
That's a great drop. Like, isn't it just Al's voice?
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
It's amazing.
That one every time.
It's absolutely
making
fantastic.
Drops of
what
themselves.
An a-hole. Yeah.
Al Beck and James joining me for another week here, and of course Nate Bender hanging out with us for a little bit of Nerd Radio. What's coming up on Checkpoint XP next couple of weeks, man?
So we're kind of looking at our holiday shows coming up in the next couple of weeks. So we're going through a whole bunch of changes in terms of the website content, but listeners can expect a new episode of Checkpoint AFK this week, and we'll talk a little bit more about what's happening with the brand on that show.
That's excellent. And definitely, speaking of being thankful, definitely thankful that you guys let us come in here on a weekly basis.
You're always welcome.
It's fantastic.
We love playing with your fancy toys.
It's true. Absolutely true. So over the Thanksgiving weekend, did anybody watch any football?
No. I think I'm the most likely to have, and I did not.
Okay, because apparently during the Thanksgiving game, they had a commercial for the new Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and there's a scene near the end of the game that's kind of a big reveal of a particular character.
Major spoiler.
It's in the commercial.
Yeah.
So if you hadn't played the game yet, then you'd be like, oh, so-and-so's in the game. And then you would play the game for X amount of hours, and then that would be the big reveal, and you'd be like, well, I already knew that.
Now, this is why I don't watch trailers for things.
Right.
Because of stuff like that right there.
But, I mean, if you're just watching football, though, and, you know, they serve up the commercial for you, you won't know any better.
True, but if I don't start the new Star Wars movie as a trailer that I'm avoiding, and if that comes on, I will leave the room.
Yeah, that's fair. So our co-host Joe had actually played through Jedi Fallen Order, and when he read this story, he was like, oh my god, that was one of the best reveals of the whole game.
And they blew it in the commercial.
Yeah, I would have been devastated if I knew that was coming.
Right. So that sucks. But hopefully you guys didn't get hit by that while over the Thanksgiving weekend.
Now I can't wait till we're done with the show, because I got to talk to you guys to find out what this big reveal is. Because I might buy the game, but I'm probably not going to put in the hours to completely play it.
Right.
I'm curious about who it is. We'll wait, and we don't want to put the spoiler in the show, but we all know I'm never going to play it. I would like to.
Are you
but
kidding?
I,
it's like my Final Fantasy 15 thing. By the time you get to it, you'll have forgotten what the spoiler was anyway, so it'll still be a big reveal. True. I also noticed one of the places that I go to for my video game news, over the Thanksgiving weekend, one of their writers posted something about just finishing Final Fantasy 15. And I'm like, cool, it wasn't just me.
Right.
I waited like two goddamn years to finish this game.
I stalled out like 15 hours in.
Yeah, it's rough to get through. I feel rewarded that I finished it. And I definitely, James thinks I'm insane, but I definitely want to play it a second time. Definitely want to go through New Game Plus.
You barely enjoyed it the first how many hours? You were like, I've played this game for like 20 hours. I don't know if I like it or not.
Right.
You've already put 20 hours in. I would hope you at least enjoy it. My time is precious. If I'm putting 20 hours in something, I better be getting paid or it better be a good time.
See, right. I have the same problem with The Outer Worlds.
You just described my love life right there.
See, I have the same problem with The Outer Worlds. Like, I got 10 hours into it, and I went, why am I playing this? Like,
yeah.
I'm not really having a whole lot of fun.
Dude, I'm with you, but I'm only, like, maybe 3 hours in.
And right?
Like, this was really fun at first, but now I'm like, there's so much damn reading.
Yeah.
Do I have to why does every non-NPC character I deal with have to have a friggin' 4-page novel of different things they want to talk to me about? I just want to go shoot stuff with a shrink ray, like I see on the TV commercials.
I will go back to what I said before about Final Fantasy 15. It was a game that did not actively hate me, and that is why I just stuck around, because it wasn't, you know, I didn't feel like the game was just punishing me for playing it. So that's why I'm like, I think I'll keep going.
Also describing Al's love life.
Didn't punish me. You know, Chris Berg on Twitch, too, said that he's taken Al's advice and stopped watching trailers, but then he also pulls an Al and waits 6 months to watch the movie.
Yeah.
But I figured you would appreciate that, Al.
That was huge. Your influence is huge. You're an influencer now.
I know.
You are.
I am an influencer.
You're going to get that little blue check on Instagram.
Oh, sweet. Can't wait. There's no one trying to be me. I don't need the blue check. It's no one pretending to be me.
While we're talking about trailers, they did release the teaser trailer for Black Widow coming out, the next Marvel movie coming out next year. So we got to see a glimpse of David Harbour as Red Guardian. Mm. And that's looks like it's going to be a fun movie. It's supposed to take place between Infinity War and Civil War. is where it falls in the timeline. But it looks like there's a couple of other
between Infinity War and Civil War. Didn't Civil War happen before?
Civil War is when everybody divides up, and then everybody comes back together during Infinity War. So this takes place dead in the middle of that part of the timeline. But you're going to see a couple of different people from the Black Widow program. Rachel Weisz is going to be in this movie. Florence Pugh, and I don't know. It looks like it's going to be another good Marvel movie. Looks like it'll be a fun time. Speaking of Marvel movies, too, I had to tell James about this because I'd be surprised if you guys didn't already talk about this and Dave and Chuck. Josh Brolin.
Oh, yeah.
Posted.
I know exactly where you're going with this one.
Posted on Instagram that he tried out the perennium sunning and sunburned his butthole.
Yeah, I mean, that'll happen. You got your legs over your head. You got your butthole exposed directly to the sun. You're going to get a sunburn if you're not using the proper SPF.
Thanos,
but I also don't know how much I actually believe he actually tried it. Josh Brolin, yeah. I feel like he's not the guy who's like, you know what I need to do to make my life better?
Yeah.
Get some sun on my a-hole. I feel like he's got other ways to make his life better.
Well, how else is he going to get a sunburned a-hole?
Exactly the kind of joke he would make, too, though. I mean,
I guess that's true.
So, you know, it's, I don't know, it was funny.
All I know is that my the neighbors at my condo don't appreciate it.
But hey, is your life improving? Are you feeling better about yourself? Are you feeling healthier?
Yes. Not really.
So you're pissing off your neighbors, and you're not feeling a difference.
All of the negative energy coming off of my neighbors is that's you know.
Maybe your butthole is actually pulling all the negative energy from your neighbors straight into you, and you're becoming more of a negative person.
Maybe I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be doing it on our front lawn.
Yeah, well, especially now it's like 30 degrees.
Yeah,
they definitely don't want to be doing it now.
Oh, maybe that's the problem.
Are you still fully dressed other than you just have like some pants that you took the thing out so you could just sun that?
Oh, you go fully nude, huh?
Yeah, fully nude.
All right.
You should Winnie the Pooh it, you know?
It's like Pooh Bear, the Pooh
Donald Duck it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is something I wanted to talk about too because this cracks me up. So, Al, what was the game that you and your brother played?
Empire Earth.
On the computer. Yeah, because this is not that game, but it is a game similar to that. Civilization.
Okay,
Civilization 4 is on the Switch. And right now, there's a glitch on it that causes the game to crash just before the player claims victory.
Oh, balls!
And the only way they've figured out, there's a Reddit thread about this, the only way they figured out to get around that glitch is to declare war before your last turn.
Oh.
So the only way to win Civilization is to declare war.
Okay. All right.
I love the idea. It's one of those games where, you know, you're managing resources and trying to, like, take over the world, but you can do it diplomatically or you can do it, you know, militaristically or whatever like that. But the only way to actually win at the moment...
I will kill you!
Is to just kill the other guy.
All right. It's a fun glitch.
It cracks me up.
I do like Civilization, but it doesn't fill the void in my heart that Empire Earth left.
Empire Earth, yeah. Was Empire Earth, was there space battles and stuff in Empire Earth?
There was
as well?
An expansion pack where you could get into space.
Okay.
The original one, only you had like nano cyborgs and stuff that you could get up to. But
right.
I usually stopped it in the atomic modern age.
Yeah, all those games, I've never been really good at them. So like I would think I was doing well, and then like 3 hours later, I would come up against the computer, and somehow he's been doing way better than I have. And you just walk right through me.
Oh, yeah.
To the point that I just stopped. It's a genre of games that I stopped bothering to try and play because I'm like I'm not gonna be good at this.
Desperately want to play
the cheat
that
code
game again.
And get unlimited resources.
That's what I used to do in SimCity on the Super Nintendo.
Me too. That's the only way. Right only from time the, I played it. You right go right the, at the beginning.
Right from the beginning.
Yeah. So none of the earthquakes affect any of your stuff.
Yeah.
You get all that cash. Then you got like
you can just build whatever city you want.
Living large.
It's good stuff. Also, Nate, I wanted to tell you. So Nate's been trying to sell me on WWE 2K19.
Yeah.
Ever since you tried 2K20 and hated it.
2K20 is a dumpster fire.
It is. It's the worst. Yeah, it's unplayable.
It's
not good.
Oh, it's that's right. You've got a casual gamer thing coming out too.
Yeah, we'll have that.
So you finally tried it out as
Yeah, I finally played it and I got downloadable content for pre-ordering the game that I've redeemed. I can't find anywhere in the game. I'm like, I don't know where the heck the fiend why it is. I can't find any of the zombie characters.
That you don't get that until the first DLC pack is out, and it's out kinda. Not really.
Kind of?
Yeah, no, this is actually
when you release downloadable content kind of.
This is a problem because exactly what James experienced, you download it and then it's not there in the game.
It's ridiculous. Huh. Like, the controls don't... Nothing works.
It's broken.
The controls don't work.
It's literally broken.
That sucks.
And here's the thing. Here's why I say, you know, if you're a wrestling game fan, get 2K19 because at some point it's going to become a collector's item. Because, like, they're not fixing it for 2K21.
Right.
This is a deeper problem that exists. Like, the root of this problem is because Yuke's, a development company who has been developing WWE games since
forever.
SmackDown 2000
right.
was, I think, their first game. They decided, we're going to go a different direction, and we're going to leave all of the digital assets and all of the work that we did with 2K, and 2K is such a dismal development company that with all of the work already done, they couldn't get their act together to make a modified version of 2K19 function. Hmm. So at some point, this is going to be known as the last functional WWE game until another development company gets its hands on the license.
Interesting. Well, I've tried to get my hands on a copy of 2K19. A week ago, I went to the local, you know, video game store that had used games, and it's like $14. And I'm like, I can spend $14. Well, the only copy they had, the disc was kind of scratched, so they gave it to me for $10 because they thought it might not work. It didn't.
No.
So over the weekend, I believe it was on either Black Friday. Yeah, it was on Black Friday. One of the chain stores had a buy two used games get one free.
Nice.
So I'm like, perfect. This is I can go online and I can order it. And I got that and a couple other games. And the first thing is I had them delivered to my house. They delivered each game separately. all three games were packaged separately from different places and all showed up last night.
Ugh.
All showed up on the same day anyways. But I was excited. Hey, I got my 2K19 and I opened it up and that disc is trashed.
Oh no.
So this is two in a row. I'm having a hard time finding myself a copy of 2K19, but I believe it'll happen.
That sucks. And here's something that I learned this morning about 2K20. If you have 2K20 and you want to upload like custom images like to 2K19, if you bought 2K20, you can't do that anymore.
Really?
Yeah. You have to go buy a fresh copy of the game or buy it on a new account on Steam for you to upload custom images to it again.
Jesus.
It's insane. Like, the number of problems that this game has is insane. So the rumor that I keep hearing is that the reason Yuke's left WWE is to possibly work on the AEW video.
Oh, that's you want that to be true.
No, that's
wishful thinking.
That's the rumor, man. Because the statement that Yuke's put out is that we've been working on, you know, the WWE titles for so long. This is the only wrestling game that's out there. There's no competition. We want to provide some competition.
I almost feel like the AEW is not big enough to where they're going to make enough money.
I agree.
They put out a game.
I agree.
So if they do an AEW game, there's definitely like the creative character is going to be a big part of it.
Yeah, because like for me, part of my problem with Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. No,
part of my problem with AEW right now is there's not enough recognizable people that they put on TV. So I'm just there like, well, I'm going to see what Le Champion, you know, like there's not enough.
So in my 2K19, I literally created AEW in your universe mode, right? So I downloaded their entire roster, which is only about 52 wrestlers deep. Mm-hmm. And that is a big problem. Like you can't make a wrestling video game with only like 52 characters in 2020. Like it just doesn't work.
That's a fascinating problem to me too. That like you only have 52 characters to choose from. Like,
right?
I remember when fighting games. Remember Street Fighter had like six guys, or eight guys.
But
or Mortal
but
Kombat.
If you put out Street Fighter in 2020, people would look at that and go, "That's not acceptable."
I know, and that's fascinating.
Yeah,
they want a roster like Smash Brothers.
Yeah,
you know? Exactly.
But I think that's one thing that WWE 2K20 got right. There's such a huge selection of WWE superstars, past and present, whether you have to buy them or not. They're still available to play in the game. And I thought they nailed the selection of characters that you can have. Anybody from NXT, SmackDown,
right.
Raw, like old school, Hall of Famers, like everybody is in there.
Yeah.
There's always, it's funny too, because when they, even back, going back to like the original SmackDown games on the PlayStation, there's always a handful of guys you're like, how did you get in this game? What are the headbangers doing in here?
Oh man, the headbangers, that's a blast from the past.
How did Val Venus get in the SmackDown guys, game? What is this about?
Val Venus too? There's another blast from the past.
Hello, lady. Yes. What is Greg the Hammer Valentine doing in a wrestling game in 2019 anyway?
Yeah, well, he's a Hall of Famer.
You're not wrong.
For having the hammer.
He's still got some fans.
All right.
They're playing video games. Tonight.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's Nerd Radio.
Well, before we go, we got to mention the fact that we lost DC Fontana.
Oh, yes.
From the Star Trek writer. I'm wearing, as you can see, my Star Trek shirt today.
Yes.
Yeah. But big writer, big time on that writing staff. She just passed away, Dorothy Fontana.
Is there a particular episodes people would recognize?
Chose to watch the other day when I found out was Tomorrow Is Yesterday.
Okay.
It's one where they end up back in the 60s and they meet a fighter pilot and they have to go, you know, back figure out a way to transfer him or, you know, transport him back home.
Right.
So he doesn't remember the future stuff he sees, but also, and then they got a slingshot around the sun and
she worked on
the
original
well.
Series, right?
Original series predominantly, but also was a part of the Next Generation. She wrote Encounter at Farpoint, the pilot episode of Next Gen. So I think she wrote 10 episodes of the original series, but I mean, those writer rooms, obviously, you're just, you know, you're bouncing ideas off of each other.
Yeah.
And you're a big part of it all. So, but no, she was a big part of the behind the scenes of Star Trek, and she just passed away at the age of 80. So we gotta at least mention her.
Absolutely.
Here at the end. Not to end on a down note, but 80 years old, man. She gave us a lot of good sci-fi.
Yeah, I wonder if she had anything to do with the Picard series that's coming out, too.
I don't know. I don't know if she was all that involved in that or not, but there was a lot of really crazy stuff. Gene Roddenberry was a little bit of a kook, as you can imagine.
You think?
But there's a documentary that's Chaos on the Bridge, which is talking about starting off Next Generation and some of the insanity that was going on behind the scenes. And Dorothy Fontana was a big part of that. Had a lot of stuff that she talked about in that documentary. So you can kind of see her talk about working on Star Trek.
Nice.
again, amongst the insanity that was Next Gen, but yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week right here on Checkpoint XP's Twitch channel. You can, of course, check us out on YouTube. You can find us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook at Nerd Radio 101. You can find us right back here for the Nerd Radio podcast next week.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, thank nerds. You.
And we're out.
All right, we ready to burden the internet with our lovely faces?
Yeah. All right, we're recording, and we are going live.
If you haven't checked it out yet, Erica.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I worked from home that day, and then, like, my Twitter feed was just filled with, like, these half-naked dudes with
Humps,
the three
man.
Of you. And I'm like, yeah. Damn it!
The
we're
one
from
day,
home!
Yeah, the one day you're working from home.
Come on!
I'll have to let you know in the future if I get any more hunks in here. You got to set your Google. It's
not me and Chuck, as we found out today.
Yeah. That's true.
Did you stop and start?
James, do I look beautiful?
Let me get you on camera here. Fabulous.
Thank you.
The babushka is phenomenal.
It's a
phenomenal babushka.
It's a slouchy beanie.
Write that one.
Okay.
Write that one down.
My grandma would call that a babushka. Okay.
Phenomenal babushka.
I could get taken the wrong way.
That's going
to
be
I am referring to your hat.
I know.
Okay.
But even if you weren't thanks?
Yes. Yeah.
That's going to be my next
like a lady.
My next band name.
Phenomenal babushka.
Phenomenal babushka.
I'd go see that band.
You want to be in that band?
I'm
hiring.
I'll be in the band. It's going to get weird.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be the guitarist who actually knows what he's doing.
But I don't.
So far, we got two guitarists and a hype man.
Yep.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Oh, hell.
Phenomenal babushka.
And both guitars have a very different style of playing.
Phenomenal babushka coming to your town.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.